And we are live. Praise the Lord. Well, we've sung and spoken a lot about my message this morning and talking a lot about fighting and battles and faith. Really, my message is about faith this morning. And a bit of a disclaimer right at the start in that when I was studying this all out, I realized just what a massive subject faith is. So this is really just a finishing off of the series that I've been doing on Deuteronomy 2:24. So if you don't know it by now, let's read it again. Where Moses is saying to the Israelites, he says, "Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle." And we've been using this as a model for the Christian life to reach whatever is our destination that God has for us. And we've broken that down into rise up, which was about being spiritually minded instead of carnally minded, Romans 8:5-7. Take your journey, which was keep moving. Don't get stuck. Don't be lazy. Keep going. Crossing the river spoke of problems and oppositions rising up from within and without, and about how we must press on, press through. If we're to reach our destination, we have to learn how to cope with all of these things through finding that strength from the Lord and keeping our eyes on Jesus, as we've spoken about many times. Yes, we need to be prepared through the word to deal with opposition. And we looked at 1 Timothy, no, sorry, 2 Timothy 3, 12 to 16 about that. Last week we covered the portion of the scripture, "Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land." This "behold" was again about being spiritually minded. It was about to see into the heavenly realm, to see what God has planned. And we used Elisha as an example when he said to the Lord, "Open the young man's eyes that he may see." Because that young man could not see what Elisha knew was there. And when his eyes were opened, he saw into the heavenly realm and he saw God's provision. And the question is, what are we seeing? What are we looking at? Are we looking at the natural? Are we looking at problems? Are we looking at carnal stuff and obstacles? Or are we looking into the kingdom of God? Are we looking at his potential and his provision? And this is something we need to ask ourselves every day. We looked at Matthew 11, verse 12, which says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." And we looked at some examples of people in scripture who pressed in to Jesus to receive what they needed. We saw the woman on the ground approaching Jesus to touch the hem of his garment so that she could receive all that he had for her. She had that faith that she was going to press through. She was violently resolved. And that her faith was activated, and there was a corresponding action. She had hope. She saw healing there in Jesus. She had hope that she could receive that healing. That hope activated her faith to act, to move, to press into Jesus, and she received. And today is our final teaching in this series. We're looking at begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Last week we finished by thinking of our faith as a servant, which was a really powerful concept that's really helped me. And I know it's it's raised a lot of not questions, but different ways of thinking and looking at things, to think of our faith as our servant. Our faith is at our command. We tell our faith what we need, and our faith connected to the spiritual brings from the spiritual to us into the physical. That's faith's job. And our faith never rests, it never sleeps, it's never self-serving, it's always for us, and it's available 24 hours a day. Doesn't require thanks, it's designed to do what it does. Our faith is designed to get from the kingdom what you need. So this battle that the Israelites were going into, it was one that it was a battle of faith, because they were believing that God said, that God meant what he said. God said, I've given this land to you. Go and possess it. So it was born in faith, this battle, because it was a command from God. He said, go. And because he had said, go, they went and they were successful. And this whole model is about faith. The whole model for Christian living is one of faith. By faith, we turn our minds to think spiritually. We believe there's a spiritual realm and we think it. By faith, we do that. By faith, we step out and we begin a journey with the Lord. That's a journey of faith, believing him, believing in his provision, and looking to see that come to pass. By faith, we confront opposition, doubt, and problems. We use our faith in what God has said. We take that, we use it to overcome. And by faith, we face an enemy, because usually an enemy is stronger than us on our own, but we are not on our own, and that's the point. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So we have that full empowering, full strength through our faith. And by faith, we are violently resolved to press into the kingdom and to receive everything that God has for us from the kingdom. I want to read to you the definition of Bible faith, which is should be obvious, but just to stir it up in your minds. Thayer's definition of Bible faith is the conviction of the truth of anything, belief in the New Testament of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the idea included of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. In relating to God, it's the conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. Relating to Christ, it is a strong and welcome conviction. I like that. A strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Faith is the religious beliefs of Christians. Faith is belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same. And then Strong's definition it's from the Greek word meaning persuasion, that is credence, moral conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God or a religious teacher, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation, abstractly constancy in such profession, by extension, the system of religious truth itself, assurance, belief, faith, fidelity. So faith is absolutely central to our Christian life, because it is all to do with God, us, God our Father, and his provision to us through Jesus. And we put our faith in that. We believe that. We have this conviction. that that is true and that we are determined to live accordingly. And that's what the Christian life is. It's believing that God is who he says he is, that he's done what he says he's done, that we have what he says we have, and seeking to live that and to see that come in our lives. I was looking at, this is where I realized what a huge subject faith is, when I started looking at phrases about faith. So in my Strong's concordance online, I typed in the phrase of faith. And this was the sort of things that came up. We can be full of faith. There's a door of faith, a law of faith. There's righteousness of faith, word of faith, measure of faith, obedience of faith. There's the spirit of faith. There's the hearing of faith, the household of faith. There's the shield of faith, which we'll mention later, the work of faith. There's a breastplate of faith. More commonly, we think of the breastplate of righteousness, but the word, Paul also talks about the breastplate of faith. There's the good fight of faith. There's the full assurance of faith. And there's the prayer of faith. And then there's the phrase, by faith. So you can have sanctified by faith. We can live by faith. We are justified by faith. We have access by faith into grace. We stand by faith. We walk by faith. And we have righteousness by faith. And then there's faith and the things that accompany faith. We have faith and the Holy Ghost, faith and power, faith and charity, and faith and love, faith and verity, which is truth, faith and good doctrine, faith and patience, and faith and hope. And there's also through faith, which I haven't written down, but that is an equally good topic to study. So you can see how vast faith is. It encompasses everything, just everything is about faith. And that's what we can weave through this whole model is faith in God and his provision. So this scripture that we're looking at today, begin to possess it. So our word, first word there is begin. And this is a very interesting Hebrew word. If you Google the Strong's number for it, in other places it's translated as defiled, polluted, profaned, and prostitute. And it really is a word that means to break down. It means like to bore a hole. It's to begin as if by an opening wedge. In a sense, it's about punching a hole through something to make that start to then move on. And I liked that. I thought that there was a sense of violence about that, about strength and assertiveness and, you know, the sense of punching through. It's the beginning of a fight. No, it's the beginning of a fight. Because this was a fight that had already been won. It was just a formality, them going through this battle. We see later on in the chapter, we see them getting the victory. And the same is for us. Our battle is a formality because it's already, God has already ordained us for victory. We are already more than conquerors. We are just enforcing a victory that has already been won. But there's action. There's violence, not necessarily physical violence, but spiritual violence, punching a hole into our circumstances to see God's word make a difference. And there will be battles. There's battles in our minds, in our hearts, with our mouths to overcome and to push through and to see victory come. Every one of us will have a testimony of having done that. And when our faith is active, when it's activated, It's this punching a hole, making a start, and then our prayers, if you like, going into that beginning and going into our circumstances. And that's the spiritual power beginning to have an effect in our circumstances as we keep speaking, keep praying, keep believing, keep being convicted, convinced, fully persuaded that this is a process that works because there's power in our words and in the spiritual force behind it. And the challenge is to keep going, especially if initially you don't see a lot of change. But we must keep going. We must keep going because each time we speak, each time we pray, something is happening on a spiritual level, which eventually will break through. It will break through. Keep going. Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Christian life is a fight. It is a fight. We can't just sit around and do nothing and expect God's power and will to come to pass in our lives. We are involved in it. God has made provision there, but we have to access it. It won't come by accident. And we have to keep going. If we're looking to see the things of God come in our life, we have to be faithful and keep going. A big partner of faith is hope. We see that in scripture. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have faith, we have hope, we have love. In that scripture in Galatians 5:6 is the word worketh there, which comes from the word energeis, which means effectual, powerful. So our faith is empowered, it's effectual, it works by love. And faith is real and powerful, but it doesn't come alone. It has other things with it, and it's activated by hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the word hope can be defined as a desire accompanied by confident expectation. A desire accompanied by confident expectation. So when we see the things of God in our mind, we see the potential of the things of God in our life. When we see that, we can have this positive feeling about it, this positive emotion of hope, which gives us this desire to see that thing come to pass. It gives us some expectation of obtaining what we're seeing, what we're hoping for. And that's the first step in faith. We need to see what we need and want. We put our hope in that. We have that desire in us to see that come to pass, that expectation of seeing it come to pass. And then that activates our faith to then take hold of what it is that we need and want. So hope is such an important part. Hope is all about being spiritually minded. It's about seeing things in the spirit and desiring them and expecting them to come to pass in our lives. Elisha was in hope when he saw the troops that had come out against him, but he had hope in God, and that hope activated his faith. He knew that they were okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in hope when they defied Nebuchadnezzar because they had faith. They hoped that God, they had that expectation that God would save them from the fire, and that hope activated their faith, and they came out and they didn't even smell of smoke. So they have this knowledge of God's heart for them. Have a knowledge of God's positive, good heart for you, that He wants you to succeed. He wants you to be victorious. He wants you to have an abundant life. He is for us in that way. He is not for poverty and struggle and pain and sickness. That is not God. Those things are of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But that's all the sort of thing that God has given us the victory over. And it's that victory over those things that we are enforcing in our lives and seeing come to pass in our lives. We need to be confident in God's positive heart and promises for us, that He's a good God. God is good all the time. He's a good God. And His definition of good is what we call good. You know, we get our idea of what is good from God. We call things good because He calls them good. If God doesn't call it good, it's not good. If God calls it bad, it's not good. We get that from God, and we can see what is bad, that God calls it bad, and it is not for us. We have victory over it all. So what are we hoping for? What is each one of us? What are you hoping for? What have you have that positive expectation for that is activating your faith to then step out? See that destination, confidently expect it, and then by faith, press into it. Be violently resolved to have it. Once our hope is there, once we see what we need, have the desire for it to come to pass, faith begins to bring the desired thing into the physical realm. That's what faith does. That's faith's job. Remember, that's your servant faith's job. When you hope for it, you have the desire for it, your faith gets it and brings it to you. Let's have a look at Romans 5. We read from verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, not because tribulation is a good thing in itself, but knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Greek word used for experience here is it's D-O-K-I-M-E. I don't know how you pronounce that. And it means approved character, the quality of being approved as a result of tests and trials. Some have defined this word in this verse as the temper of the veteran as opposed to that of the raw recruit. Experience builds up our faith in strength. As we face tribulation and face trials, those things in themselves are not of God, but they are in the path of every believer because of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But as we have victory over each of these things, our character is built. And so we become that, in that sense, veterans of faith. As we fight and win and fight and win. And initially, there is this beginning, this punching a hole in the circumstances with our faith, beginning to see the power of God coming. Thinking about this punching a hole thing, it reminded me of wartime maps. Have you ever visited the Churchill War Rooms in London? So you can't actually go into one of the rooms, but you can look through the glass wall. And on this big wall is a huge map of Europe and North Africa. And you can see on this map, on the wall, thousands and thousands of pinpricks where the armies were marked on the wall, so that they had a visual of where the armies were, both ours and the opposition armies. And so what they would do would be they would study this map, and they would look for weakness in the lines of the opposition, so that then they could get their forces to punch through that line with their armies to then acquire more land. So there's this sense of what's the word? Exploiting a weakness. And what our prayers are doing, what our prayers of faith are doing, is weakening that front line, if you like, of opposition. And the more we are praying, the more we are speaking out, the more we are creating that weakness that we can then punch through. As I was thinking of that, it made me think of, if you're old enough to remember Dad's Army, do you remember the opening credits? It was a map of Europe. And it was, "Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler?" And the arrows were coming across Europe. "If you think we're on the run." And there's, you know, up come, here come the Nazis. "We are the boys who will stop your little game." And then there's, here's the UK, you know, "We are the boys who will make you think again." So we are in a war, we're in a battle in that sense. Our prayers are punching through the lines of opposition that are coming against us. We are in a battle. But it's like the Israelites, it's a battle that's already been won. We're really just enforcing the victory that is already ours. And we do that through God's word, with our minds renewed, thinking spiritually, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, and using the power of God's word in our mouth. It's powerful. So yes, yeah, speaking of battles, have a look at 1 John 5, verse 4. "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Our faith, which is the faith of the Son of God, given to us as a gift. It's a gift from God. And then it abides in us as fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We have faith. But we need to exercise our faith. We need it to be strengthened. And opposition and dealing with opposition will strengthen us and help us to become veterans of faith. "Who is he that overcometh the world?" So this verse 5. "But he that believeth," that's the word faith. It's from the word faith. "He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God," which every one of us does. We have faith in that truth. We have a conviction. We are fully persuaded about that truth. And of course, we no teaching on spiritual warfare would be complete without Ephesians 6. And we'll have a look from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 10. These are beautiful. I mean, I'm just kind of scanning it here, and just in the light of everything we've spoken about, it's really lovely. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a physical fight with physical punching and hitting, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our prayers punch through those forces and see God's victory come to pass. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, say above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When Vic was doing his Devotions in Grace years ago, I contributed a series on these verses where I taught that they are all about knowledge and understanding of God. I've heard of people getting up in the morning and praying that armor on, but that's not how it works. It comes through knowledge. We have to know these things. And that's what Paul is saying. It's the armor is what we know about God as our defense. Verse 16, we read that there. Above all, this is stressing the importance of faith. When faith is activated and strong, it's our defense against the world, the flesh, and the devil. When faith is activated, our eyes are on the kingdom of God, and we can be determined to see the victory and to take that land that we believe God has promised for us, whatever that looks like for you. And each one of us has something in our lives which is not lining up with how we know God needs it to be, whatever that looks like. It could be within ourselves. It could be emotionally, physically for us. It could be emotionally and physically for family members. It could be about relationships with family. It could be about money, about prosperity. It could be about a work situation or a marriage or whatever. Whatever we can see in our lives that is not quite lining up with the word of God, that's an area that we can go to war on and see that change, using God's power, having the hope to see it change, having the hope for it to be different. And then that activating our faith to take action, to take steps, using his word, that sword of the Spirit, the word of God, taking the word of God, whatever that might be for you. And that's why it's important to be in the word, to read the word, especially, well, not especially, but I'm thinking in terms of the Old Testament, the Kings, Samuel, Exodus, all these books, Chronicles, they have these accounts in them, and every one of them can be an allegory for something in life that can give us a solution or a way of thinking or a way of seeing something. And then we can take that into prayer. And we can use these scriptures. I mean, just take Goliath, David and Goliath as an example. Excuse me. We can see how David had this assurance of his covenant when he went into battle with Goliath. He called Goliath that uncircumcised Philistine, meaning Goliath had no covenant and he was in covenant with God, and he was certain that that was going to bring him victory. For us, we can read that and we can say, oh, covenant's important. I'm in a covenant. I'm in a new covenant that Jesus has invited me into. I have everything that he has. I'm in the new covenant. And then you can use that assurance to influence your own prayers. That's just one tiny example from the whole of scripture that you can take and line up with your own life. You can take an account, a story, a situation, and you can see the Holy Spirit will quicken it and you'll see things in it. I've seen family members in Bible characters and I've prayed for them in terms of what happened to that character. I said, right, Lord, I see that that person was released from that. I call my family member released from that. And that's come to pass. It comes to pass. That's the power of God's word. It shows us things. It shows us how to pray, what to say, what's needed, and that gives us hope to see that change come into our situation or into somebody else's situation. That's the power of God's word. That's why it's the sword of the Spirit. Because not never mind punching a hole, it is sharp. It's piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, he says. So it's strong, it's powerful, and it's how we can get victory in our lives. We can be determined to see God's victory, to see his power come in our lives. And that will be a day by day by day experience. And as our experience goes on, and the days and the weeks and the months and the years go on, we're building that resilience, we're building that experience, giving us patience to wait for things, and that wonderful hope to expect the positive good, all activating our faith to keep pressing on and to keep doing what we know is the right thing to do. Knowing that our faith is well supported by the resources of heaven. We have everything we need right there, waiting for us to access, waiting for us to send our faith servant off to collect and bring. It's abundant, it's endless, it's eternal, it's powerful. We contend in battle and we win the land. And that has been our experience, and it will be our experience again in other areas of our lives as we keep pressing on, keep pressing, be violently resolved to see God's kingdom come in your life, because you are more than a conqueror. You are more than equipped. You have every resource you need. There are many countries in this world that have armies, and some armies are better equipped than others. If a nation is rich, they can have incredible resources at their disposal with their army. Think of it in terms of God's kingdom, where God's kingdom is the all-powerful nation. And every resource of heaven is at our command. I mean, gosh, get your head around that. Get your hope and your faith into line with that. That is powerful. So I hope that this series has given you something of a track to run on, a way to think about things. Get your mind in the best place on all things spiritual. Keep motivated to press on. Keep moving. Don't be lazy. Don't give up. Battle through the opposition within and without. See your provision in the kingdom of God and be violently resolved to receive it. By faith and prayers and speaking out, punch that hole in your circumstances so that the power of God can get through and get land for you. Have that confident expectation of victory. Confident expectation of victory in whatever circumstance you need to apply this to. And most of all, exercise that faith of yours, that servant of yours. Get it working. For a lot of us, our faith has been sitting playing cards because we're not using it. Doing jigsaws. Yeah. Wasting time because we're not using it. So give your servant faith a shout and it'll drop everything and be right there for you to get going, to get active, and to see God's kingdom and his power come in your life and in your family's life and in the life of the fellowship. We're all in this. We are the household of faith. We're all in it together. To encourage, to build up, to fight together. There's not many battles that are fought one-on-one. David and Goliath was one-on-one, but most of the time it's a group effort. So we're all in it together. So yes, God bless you and get your faith going, get your faith working, and let's see God's kingdom come in our lives. Amen. Come on. We should probably just pray over this word. Father, I seal your word in our hearts. Holy Spirit, quicken it to each one of us how we need, right where we need it. Father, would you give us an excitement to be veterans of faith, to practice and to see your kingdom come, to see your kingdom punching the hole in our circumstances and to see the land being won, the land that we are looking for, whatever that is. Thank you for the power in our words, in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the full resources of heaven at our command. And I pray for each one of us, Lord, that we will start drawing on that more and more and more, and seeing wonderful things and seeing victory and more than conquering victory coming in our lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.